You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. In 1999, there were 99 heroin or opioid overdose deaths in Michigan. In 2014, that number stood at 1,001. That's 10 times as many deaths in just 15 years, according to the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. As we continue our series, Minding Michigan, we turn now to a woman who is a recovering opioid addict. These days, she's working to keep others on the path to recovery. Christy Kopek is a recovery coach with Victory Clinical Services in Saginaw, and she's a member of Peer 360, which is an organization of people who are in recovery. Christy Kopek, welcome.
Hi.
Tell us how old you were when you first started using.
I was about 16 years old when I first started using.
And what did you start with?
I had actually started smoking marijuana, and there was really no reason for it. I basically did it because the friends that I was hanging out with and my boyfriend at the time was doing it. And to me, it seemed cool and I wanted to fit in.
And what effect did that have on you?
Well, in the beginning, I liked the effects, to be honest with you. But as time went on, it affected my grades, my job, my life, the other friends that I had. It affected my whole life all the way around.
And then when did you start using opioids and what did you use? How did that begin?
I was 17 when I first used opiates. I had actually taken a couple Vicodin that my boyfriend that I was with at the time had gotten. We actually were at a party and, you know, he said it would be fun and it would make you feel relaxed. And it was like smoking marijuana, but it was more intense than that. So I took them and honestly, it was all over with from there. I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know what I was doing or what I was getting myself into. I thought I was just having fun.
What was the feeling like of taking it? When you were saying it was all over at the time, are you trying to say, gee, it felt so good that, this is terrific?
Yes, in a sense. It made me feel relaxed. I mean, I was in high school and stuff and, you know, had always struggled with having friends and I was shy. It took all of that away.
And as you say, it was all over even though you didn't know it at the time. What do you mean by that?
That in just taking that first pill, I didn't know it at the time, but I was instantly addicted after that. Mm. I liked it so much and I wanted to do it more and more often that I became addicted after that first pill.
And then how long were you using into the point where you realized, boy, I've got a problem? And did you ever use that word addict in thinking about yourself?
No, I didn't. Not in the beginning. No, not at all. It was probably almost a year after I took the first pill that I had realized that there might be something wrong. I didn't know. I mean, I took DARE in elementary school, but I didn't know what a drug addict was. I mean, I had my perception of them and the stigma that goes along with them and people that you see in the streets, but I didn't know that anybody could be a drug addict, and I didn't know the effects of being an addict and being sick when you didn't have it and all of that. So I knew nothing about that. When I started waking up in the morning feeling sick or tired when I didn't have it, that's when I realized that I think there's something wrong.
Now, but you never crossed over to using heroin, did you?
I did a couple times, but only when I couldn't get what I wanted. I actually used OxyContin, which people say is synthetic heroin, and that's what I used.
Ultimately, then, with your road to recovery, Christy, what worked for you? What got you to a point where you can say, I am a recovering addict?
I guess going through everything that I had gone through, meeting the people that I did, going to NA meetings, and then I guess basically being around the people that I had been around and hearing their stories and seeing what it was like for them to live life clean and sober. And I wanted that life. I wanted to wake up in the morning and not be sick and have to go chase drugs and call people and wait. And I didn't want to have to do that anymore. So I decided that it was time for me to get clean. I had also had two kids and I wanted to be there for them as a parent. I'd seen a lot of people who had their kids taken away who will never see their kids again. And I didn't want to put my kids through that. that's the point when I realized that I want to be in recovery. I need to be in recovery.
How many tries did it take?
It actually took me about seven tries, but I only one time I went to an inpatient treatment center. Every other time I tried to do it by myself, alone with nothing and no one to support me, which after I learned more about it, I realized that's not the way to go.
Which is why for you working as a recovery coach, you realize that as you look at other people trying to get clean and not use.
Yes, definitely. You have to have a good support system and go to NA or even AA meetings. And it helps a lot if you have family that support you or even a friend or even just a recovery coach. Having one other person there that you can talk to when you need to helps a lot.
Christy, was there a program that clicked for you? Was it NA, Narcotics Anonymous, or what was it that really turned the key for you?
Honestly, I had gotten into a methadone program, and that was what clicked for me. That was what worked for me. Some people don't agree with methadone, but ultimately it saved my life. When I got on methadone, I was about to get both of my kids taken away. I had no job. I was sick looking, and from where I was when I started to where I am now is like night and day. I'm a completely different person.
And the idea that, as we were saying, as a recovery coach, you can look someone in the eye and say, I know exactly what you're going through, and what you say, those words matter, don't they?
Yes, a lot. When I had first started getting clean and stuff, I didn't have anybody like that. In doing the job that I do, I wish I had, because I think that it would have helped a lot. It maybe would have made things easier to be close to someone that had been in my shoes and been through the same exact stuff I had to, just to know that I can get through it, that other people have gotten through it, so I know that I can get through it.
Christy, do we need changes in the way that opioid drugs are labeled?
Yes, I think we need changes in the way that they're prescribed. Honestly, I think that too many doctors are too quick to prescribe them for everything. Obviously, if you've had surgery or something like that, I mean, it's okay. But I've been given pain pills for having a tooth pulled, something that Motrin would work for. Honestly, I think the way they label the bottles, I think there should be more of a warning on them, maybe right on them that, you know, you can get addicted to this and to be careful taking it. And I've always been told that when a doctor gives you a prescription for some kind of opiates, you're supposed to be weaned off of them so that you don't get addicted to them. Because when you're taking pills like that for, you know, any kind of amount of time, when you stop taking them, you're going to feel sick. So you're supposed to slowly be weaned off of them. And I honestly have never heard of any doctor doing that.
And really, it's on patients as well to not expect to walk out with a prescription in hand, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But there was actually one time when I went to the dentist and I had my wisdom teeth pulled and they had offered me Vicodin and I told them I didn't want them. And I had asked for ibuprofen and they told me, they flat out told me no, that the ibuprofen wouldn't work, that I needed the Vicodin. Mm. And they pushed it on me after I told them I didn't want the prescription, and they gave me the prescription anyways. They insisted that I needed it, and there's no reason for that at all.
And what are the warning signs that we should watch for that might tell us that a friend or a coworker or a loved one could be getting addicted to opiates?
I think the big thing would definitely be changes in the mood, in their mood swings. A lot of signs of somebody going through withdrawals is like sweating and watery eyes and yawning a lot and can't sit still. They can't sit still. They're really agitated, loss of appetite. Some people lose a lot of weight. But the main thing is the mood swings and not being able to sit still, really jittery and things like that.
So if someone's listening to what you're saying, Christy, and they're ticking off things going, yep, check. So there's someone I love, I'm worried about. What then how do you bring that up to the person who's possibly using?
Honestly, I think it kind of depends on the person. Mm. I think it depends on their mental stability, whether they get upset about things easily or not. Usually in that situation, though, you have to approach it very carefully because it can really upset some people and make them take off and go do more. But you have to be really careful. Maybe sit down with them and, you know, ask them what's been going on, how have you been doing, and, you know, are you still taking the pain medication or whatever it is they're doing, and ask them if they think they have it under control or if they have a problem, and maybe slowly ease into it from there. But you really have to be careful with it. The first time that my parents ever approached me with it, I flipped out on them. Because a lot of people initially don't want to admit that, and they don't want to think about it, that they've become addicted to it, because nobody wants that. And it almost makes you feel like a horrible person. So when somebody else approaches you and confronts you on it and asks you about it, you get upset because you don't want to admit it yourself. So when somebody else sees it, it makes it worse. But you have to be very careful how you approach it.
Christy Kopech is a recovery coach. She is 6 years in recovery from opiate addiction. She's with Victory Clinical Services in Saginaw and also a member of Peer 360, which is an organization of people in recovery. Christy, thank you so much for sharing your journey with us and insights. And I know that you continue to work to help people, and I know you've done that through this interview. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.